The following is rated R. It contains violence, adult language, nudity, and adult content.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome. It's 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Sunday, March 28th, 2021. And thanks for joining us for The Walking Dead online viewing party here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm host Casey Shapiro, and special thanks to our host and sponsor, NDB Media. Tonight's show contains spoilers up through the last episode and possible content from any current AMC official promo materials. All right. I am checking in the chat room to make sure I can be heard, and we are waiting for Joan to let me know that. And while we're waiting, I'm going to give her some applause for always being here every week, even when she gets aggravated with the show, as we all do from time to time, and she helps me out. And I very much appreciate that. So yay for Joan. All right. She may be in the middle of refreshing, so I hope she will let me know in a minute if everything is copacetic. And she says, yep, the refresh worked. I think we may want to just get into the thing of when the show goes live, everybody refresh stuff. I'm not sure that the website has some eccentricities. As you well know, it has done some of them in the middle of my show occasionally. But anyhow, typically we start our show about a half hour before the new episode of Walking Dead or whatever spinoff show airs live each week with recap from previous episode and discussion of what is to come tonight. At 9 p.m., which is a little under a half hour from now, we'll go dark or mute and watch the new episode together, and then give episode ratings from 1 to 10 and commentary here on the air during the commercial breaks. We will also give our listeners trivia on the show as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more. Our show is spoiler and comic free. Please don't discuss either any spoilers or stuff from the comics in the chat room or on the air. We prefer our discussions, reactions, and comments to be just about what we know from the show that is presented. Alrighty, welcome to Season 10, Episode 21. And here's your favorite word, Joan. Tonight is the second penultimate of the special additional six episodes that were appended onto Season 10. So we've got one more to go. Next week will be the Season 10 finale redux, basically. So there are 22 episodes total for Season 10, and that ends on April 4th, which is next Sunday, a week from now. Season 11 will be the last for the Walking Dead Classic, and as of right now, it is expected to air in its traditional October season opener slot, but new news, sort of news. There have been some new rumors on social media that it may be airing in summer 2021, so I can only assume this is going to be after Fear is over, possibly. And then that leaves us a little confused what's going to happen with World Beyond Season 2. Now, considering Season 11 is going to be 22 episodes, I do not think it's going to completely air. They've got to bring in World Beyond before that, because everybody's pretty much convinced it ties into the Rick movies somehow. Letting the fans know when, what is going to air, when all that stuff has been kind of spaghetti. So I apologize if I am often repeating news I've told you or not having new news, but I am giving you what there is to get when I get it. So you are as updated as I am now. All right, Fear Season 6, reminder, resumes on April 11th with Episode 8, The Door, and continues Episodes 8 through 16, which will run to June 6th. World Beyond Season 2 is currently slated to air, quote, sometime in late 2021. Now, late is not summer, so maybe Season 11's coming first. I don't really know, as I've said earlier. June 13th, 2021 would be the first potential slot for it to run by itself. And if it's got 10 episodes in Season 2, as Season 1, this would take us to August 15th. So we'll see how that goes. In 2022, There's a fourth series coming, the spinoff series with Carol and Daryl. And since they've been quarreling the last couple of episodes, pardon me, I am assuming this is some kind of setup for that. And I'm assuming this series either spins off of the final finale, the series finale, or it's concurrent with it somehow because of the timing. In late 2022 or 23, fuzzy as to when, there will be the fifth show, an episodic roadshow-style story that they're calling, at the moment at least, Tales of the Walking Dead. All righty. Joan has a couple comments. Let's see. Just refreshing. And then, oh, she's teasing me about the penultimate thing. It's worse after this season finale because then we have to deal with fear immediately the following week. Yeah. I appreciate that you come anyway because I know you're aggravated with it, and I've been aggravated with it too, but I'll be here regardless because I'm going to keep my commitment to finish up the show. And hopefully some of you guys are watching, so there's a point in me doing that, I hope. Alrighty. Call in to speak with the host tonight, 914-338-0314. You're welcome to call anytime tonight, which would basically be between now and about 10 o'clock. But especially I encourage you to call within the first half hour of the show, 8:30 to 9 Eastern Time. You are still welcome to call in later, but you will be screened and muted until the commercial break, and then we can chat on the air. If the phones are not your thing, or you just want to get in the chat room because you can't stand to wait until I put you on a live mic, join us in the live chat room where you'll be able to listen to the show real time, as well as download the episode after the fact, and we put those links on our Facebook page and occasionally on my Twitter when I remember to do it or have time to do it. If you're unable to join us in real time this evening or any evening, you can still go to each episode link that I've posted later on and download the broadcast as an MP3 podcast for later listening, or you can play it on the page. Just click on the cloud-shaped white icon at the top right of the page if you're downloading. If you're playing, just hit the play arrow in the middle of the page. You can download this and prior episodes also on iTunes. Alrighty, it is 8:38 p.m. Tonight's episode is entitled Diverged. The official AMC synopsis is, at the lowest point in their friendship, Daryl and Carol come to a fork in the road and head their separate ways. Carol returns to Alexandria while Daryl stays on the road, each going into their own type of survival mode. And then, as I often do with you guys, I have an additional extended synopsis, and this is from a website I've used a few times, but not many. It's called CarterMatt.com. And to be honest with you, I'm not even sure why it's called that. But the extended synopsis is from March 21st, and it doesn't give me an author. So I'm not sure who to credit. Oh, all the way at the bottom, rude. This article was written by Jess Carter. You can follow her on Twitter. Okay, that's nice. So let's check on Joan. And we're still fussing about penultimate, so I'm going to go ahead. Article says, want to get a good sense of what lies ahead on The Walking Dead? That's funny because that's an episode title. Season 10, episode 21. We should start off by noting that this is the last one before the finale, or a quote finale. We honestly don't know what to call it since episode 16 was technically supposed to be the end of the season. What we're getting now in these quote, bonus episodes are opportunities to better understand about certain characters. It's also setting a strong foundation for the 11th and final season for the show itself. Episode 21 carries with it the title of Diverged, and the question at the heart of it is actually rather simple. What happens when Carol and Daryl fight? Is there a way for the two of them to get back on the same page again? I think there will be because they've had several fights. And frankly, if I may be blunt, some of them were nastier than this, so this whole business confuses me, but I'm going to roll with it and see what happens. And that's me talking, not the article. Okay, back to the article. Below, we've got the full Walking Dead Season 10, Episode 21 synopsis with some other insight as to what's coming up. Alrighty, at the lowest point in their friendship, Daryl and Carol come to a fork in the road and head their separate ways. I told you this. That's actually just quoting directly from the official synopsis. So I'm going to skip the rest of that. We think that subtly, one of the goals of these Daryl-Carol episodes at the moment is to build interest in the upcoming spinoff, which is slated to happen after the flagship show comes to a close. Oh, well, here we go. Now we know. I'm going to actually take just a few seconds, if you all don't mind waiting for me, and I'm going to paste that into my notes. And so that way, next time I can go kind of clean up what's going on with that. So, you know, when I tell you guys what's going on with this and what's going on with that, I'm going to grab that sentence and I'm going to grab the link it comes from, and that way I can get on with the business we're doing now, and then I'll have this note for later and I can edit it in next time. Okay, so that's in. Let's go back. What we've long loved about their relationship is that it really does transcend labels. It's a bond like no other. They know each other better than anyone. They can support each other while at the same time working to call each other out if that's what's best. We're obviously confident that these two will resolve their differences, but how long it takes and how their relationship is repaired is something that should be fascinating to watch. I'll double check on Joan. No further comments yet. And what do you want to see when it comes to The Walking Dead Season 10, Episode 21? Oh, that's the end of the article. They said, please share in the comments. Whatever. Okay, so there's your extended synopsis, as I do for you guys. And then let me go to my notes. All right, so synopses are done. It's 8:42, and we are at writers and directors profiles. So tonight was written by Heather Belson and directed by David Boyd. Now, it got a little interesting with Heather for two reasons. Number one, I used to do this show with the gentleman that created it and was co-host. And back when that was going on, I did not do these bios and all these other things that I've added since I took over doing it solo. So Heather has done several episodes of The Walking Dead, but I didn't have a bio for her before because I wasn't doing it. The last time that she directed something was season 6. So I will read you what I've got. The second thing that makes it hard is there is no bio info to speak of on Heather. I do find it kind of interesting that there are several people who are not the main stars of the show. These are not enormous names, but a lot of them do not have any bio nibbles anywhere. And I sort of feel like when you are in this sort of a job that you would want to have a little something out there, some little breadcrumbs. I mean, you know, I'm not saying give up all your privacy, even though this industry does tend to make you do that. But I am saying I find it strange that there's not even a professional website. You know, there's no heatherbelson.com. And she's not the only one. I've read in the past few weeks there have been several writers and directors who have no bio to speak of, and I just find it all strange. But I did find her Twitter, for what that's worth, H. Belson on Twitter. Her bio on Twitter says she's a chaotic good ranger thief, and she has Black Lives Matter on there. And that's it. So Heather's considered writer and producer. So Belson has 5 writer's credits apart from The Walking Dead. And they are Unforgettable, 2011, Black Sails, where she was both story editor and written by, 2015, The Exorcist, meaning the 2017 TV series, not the movie from the 70s, American Gods, 2019, and Raised by Wolves in 2020. Belson has 3 producer's credits apart from Walking Dead. Although, interestingly, The Walking Dead was her first producer's credit listed on IMDb. So the other ones are The Exorcist, which she did in 2016 and 17, American Gods, 2018 and 19, and Raised by Wolves, 2020. Belson was a producer for Walking Dead since 2014. She was co-producer for season 5, which was 2014 to 15, 16 episodes, and producer for season 6, 2015 to 16, also 16 episodes. Belson has written 3 prior episodes of The Walking Dead, starting with season 5, episode 5, Self-Help, which she co-wrote with Seth Hoffman, season 5, episode 10, Them, and season 6, episode 6, Always Accountable. That was a Daryl episode. Tonight is her 4th episode that she's written for the show. I want to double check with Joan. Nothing else going on. Okay. So the next part is David Boyd. I've read his bio to you guys several times, and I'm going to do it again. This is the last episode of the season 10 extra stuff that he's directing, so I'm going to give him one last hurrah. So David Russell Boyd, ASC, is an American cinematographer and director of television and film, best known for his role as director of photography for the Fox series Firefly and for The Walking Dead. He's currently married to Lisa Roden, R-H-O-D-E-N, an actress and crew member in smaller projects up until the early 2000s. Boyd was born in Cripple Creek, Colorado, to a military father and spent his early childhood in Paris, France. He was inspired to become a cinematographer after stumbling onto the set of Is Paris Burning, where he was spontaneously recruited by the crew to drag cables for camera and lighting equipment. While attending the University of California, San Diego, as a physics major, he took an elective film watching class called Thursday Night at the Movies. The class was taught by Jean-Luc Garand, which is, he's a veteran of the French New Wave and colleague of Jean-Luc Godard. Garand inspired Boyd to drop his physics major and attend the UCLA Film School to become a cinematographer and director. Boyd is the former first husband of horror actress Barbara Crampton of Reanimator, From Beyond, and other works. He's a member of the American Society of Cinematographers, which is the ASC I mentioned in the beginning, and he's been a member since 2006. Boyd has been assistant director and producer for a couple of smaller projects, camera operator for almost 60 projects, including many B-movies or horror classics, such as Trancers, Ghoulies, From Beyond with then-wife Barbara, Return of the Living Dead 2, The Flash, the TV show, and I think it may be the newer one, NYPD Blue, Beverly Hills Cop 3, Beverly Hills Cop, excuse me, pardon me. Okay, 1995's Truman movie with Gary Sinise, TV show Murder One, Kiss the Girls, Galaxy Quest, and others up through 2009. Boyd's first cinematography project was Somtow Papinian Sukariku, and professionally known as S.P. Somtow. He did the movie called The Laughing Dead in 1990. Boyd also did cinematography for Deadwood, Without a Trace, Sons of Anarchy, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., among several others. Boyd has been cinematographer and director of photography and a director for The Walking Dead. He was a cinematographer for 9 episodes from Guts, Season 1, Episode 2, in 2010, up to Cherokee Rose, Season 2, Episode 4, in 2011. He was director for 13 episodes, starting with Secrets, Season 2, Episode 6, in 2011, up to tonight's episode. And let's give them some applause and thanks for their work on the show. Good job, guys. All right, it's 8:49 p.m., so we've got just a hair over 10 minutes, and we're at trivia, so I'll do what I can. Strangely, there wasn't as much for either episode as there typically is, so maybe this will be really fast because they didn't have that much to say. So trivia about tonight's episode, it's the 152nd episode of The Walking Dead ever. There weren't really any other notes yet. No co-stars listed. The only uncredited actor is Seven, who plays Dog. Trivia from last episode, which was Splinter last week. The title of the episode, Splinter, comes from Princess getting a splinter stuck in her finger when she's digging a hole in a train car. It also refers to her troubled past, as well as her multiple, quote, splintering personalities. I'm going to take a pot shot at this. this is not really an accurate portrayal of split personality disorder. I don't know if they're full on saying that Princess has that, because I really don't get that impression. The other radio show that I do is with a prominent psychologist in Atlanta, and we've talked about this. So I'm going to ding you guys on that, even though that's what they said. So this is the first episode of season 10 not to feature any death of any kind, either living or Walker. The Talking Dead, quote, in memoriam segment for this episode is instead for the in memoriam itself, credited as no memoriam. Because for the first time in the history of the main show, no one actually died, including Walkers. Because of this, this is the first episode since The Storm where no living people died, whether that be seen or confirmed. I guess that means people that died off screen are still credited as having died, so that still counts. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, Eleanor Matsuura, who plays Yumiko, was unavailable for filming. For this reason, her character is portrayed by a stand-in who is Courtney Chen in this episode, although Matsuura voices the character's lines. So Courtney is a physical stand-in, but Eleanor is talking. Hopefully that makes sense to you guys. This is the first episode of the main show to focus almost exclusively on a recurring character, Princess, as Eugene, Ezekiel, and Yumiko appear as hallucinations for most of the episode. No co-stars. Uncredited. Courtney Chen actually was not credited for her work. And you know what? I'm going to give her some applause for that, because she should get credit for it. I don't know why she didn't. Maybe it's a contractual thing. By the way, while I'm reading this, Joan in the chat room has mentioned that she agrees with me that she doesn't get the impression that Princess has a split personality either. All right, it's 8:53. We're almost ready to go live with the show. Let's keep going. There were no deaths mentioned last week and no bloopers. All right, cast birthdays. We have a few here. So Scott Gimple, showrunner, is March 29th, and he's from Berkeley Heights, New Jersey. Scott Wilson, who played Herschel, March 29th, and he's from Atlanta. Jose Pablo Cantillo was Cesar Martinez. It's a character from Woodbury. His birthday is March 30th, and he's from Marshfield, Wisconsin. And April birthdays, because we will be going over. Alexa Helen Nicholas played Haley, a Woodbury guard. And when I said that, my own electronic device in my office of the same name perked up because she thought I was talking to her, which I'm not. Go to sleep. All right. So Haley's actress was born April 4th, and she's from Chicago. And last but not least, R. Keith Harris. Dr. Harlan Carson, Hilltop Doc that the Savior stole, also has a birthday on April 4th, 1969. Alrighty, I'm going to pause here. It's 8:54 and we have a caller and I have not screened them, so forgive me if anything goes funny. All right. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hello?
I want to share my favorite moment from The Walking Dead. I mean, I like the one episode where Rick Grimes rapes a zombie on air, and he starts sticking his cock down the zombie's throat, and he starts eating out the zombie's ass.
Congratulations, you have impeccable taste.
All right, thank you so much.
You know, some people's children really shouldn't be allowed to play with the phone, but whatever. I don't know if that's somebody who's even ever listened to the show. All right. 8:55, and for those of us who are actually adults, we're going to continue here. So we've done the birthdays. There was no featured music from Splintered, nothing named, and unaccounted for characters we are not doing. It's 8:55. Yeah, we'll go ahead. We have good solid couple of minutes. So we'll go ahead and do the Talking Dead couch. We've got time for that. So Talking Dead tonight, the couch is Melissa McBride, Cooper Andrews, director David Boyd, and Property Brother, which is a separate show elsewhere, Property Brother Drew Scott. And they will be on the couch with Chris Hardwick, metaphorically, virtually, because they're still doing Zoom chats, and that's fine and responsible. Later in the show, I have a couple of synopses. You know, I don't like to do the ones where there's spoilers. And so I'm going to wait and read these to you guys when the show is well underway, and that way we don't really have anything going on like that. Joan's a little weirded out by our guest as well, and I seriously hope we don't actually have any kind of SEC obligation, because while I'm live, I didn't really have time to screen him. But, you know, I wonder if that's the penultimate highlight of this guy's week. You know, that's got to be pretty freaking sad. And I don't think he's ever listened to the show before, because if he had, he would realize that I'm not that easily flapped. I'm 3/4 Irish, for fuck's sake. And we're allowed to swear on the air, so I don't know. Am I supposed to be all upset? Oh, my God, he used a potty word. La, la, la. Okay. I don't know if that was Mark Ramirez on the phone. We had a Mark Ramirez 988 in the chat room for a while. I have no idea if that's the same person that was on the phone or not, but he's just left, so I guess he's bored now. That's fine. I am too. But we have 3 minutes till we go live. I do have a couple articles waiting for later. I can go ahead and give you a bit of rundown for the rest of this season and what's coming up next. We got a couple minutes yet. So, as you know, being the penultimate episode, pardon my hiccups, episode 153 ever, episode 22 of season 10 is going to be Here's Negan. The writer for that is David Leslie Johnson, a longtime alum of this, and the director is Laura Belsey, who's been trading back and forth with David Boyd during the 6 episodes, and that'll be April 4th, and then that will wrap season 10, finally. And then right after that, we're going to go into Fear season 6, the back half that we never did. So the back half of season 6 of Fear, starting off a little off whack, because they're starting with episode 8 instead of 9. It picks right back up where the 6 extras end, starting April 11th. Not plot-wise, obviously, because they're 2 different shows, but, you know, the next weekend, April 11th, we're going right into it, no breaks. It appears possible that episodes 12 through 16 haven't even been completed yet. And as such, treat these dates as tentative until I hear otherwise. So theoretically, it's going to run from April 11th to episode 16 on June 6th. And then we're kind of in limbo in this nebulous place, and I don't know exactly what we're doing. I'm going to check in with Joan. Everything is quiet now. All the teenage boys have left. Everything seems copacetic. All right. It is now 8:59, and I think it's fair. Let's go ahead and get settled. Go to the restroom, get your snacks, and let's get ready for episode 21. I will see you guys at the first commercial break. Thanks for joining us. Well, it's 9:03, and that was short and sweet. It was just a replay of the ending of last week's episode. Daryl and Carol getting to the literal fork in the road, and oddly, Dog decided to go with Carol. And I am assuming this is some kind of I'm watching over her thing. I'm not really clear what's going on with that. It is a short opening, and Jonas starting with a 5. I am also inclined to start with a 5 because I rarely give a 4 unless it's actually actively bad. But number one, it was short. Number two, it's just a repeat of last week, so why was that even there? All right, so that's it for that part. Let me go ahead and give you the upcoming shows on NDB Media coming up next few days. Monday night, we have Monday Night in America with Roger Noriega. It'll be at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Roger Dean Noriega brings you his unique take on politics, current events, entertainment, sci-fi, and history. It's currently being hosted on StreamYard, which is a different service than we're on now. We are kind of exploring some other places to expand to, but I'm not going to get into that now because it's not my announcement to make. There's not really an announcement. It may end up just being that we're on multiple hosts at the same time, and that's going to be interesting. Let's juggle in the air, and plus StreamYard has videos, so now I'm going to have to put on a shirt when I talk to you guys. I am kidding, by the way. Let's see. Joan made a comment. Dog's original owner was female, so maybe he connects with Carol. Well, that's possible also. And Carol's going back to Alexandria, and I guess it's amusing to think that Dog, as a dog, might actually know that. I guess maybe he knows the direction she's going. I'm not really sure. But other shows are Fandom Access Week in Review, and that's Tuesday nights. And that's going to be at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Join the elegant entertainment of Jamie, Karen, and AJ as they discuss another night of TV. And then the next one, this is a new show that has recently started. So award-winning journalist, author, and travel writer Bob Nesoff, N-E-S-O-F-F, maybe Nesoff, I may be saying it wrong, hosts a new segment with NDB Media, Spain More Than Flamenco, and that's not the series, that's just the next episode that's coming up, and that's going to be Wednesday the 31st, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Our guest this evening, he says, the description of the show is Jose Manuel de Juan, who is the consul for Spanish tourism in the United States. We are actually back, so I tell you what, I'm going to hold off, and I will read you the rest of this at the next commercial break. Okay, guys, it's 9:18, and we are live with commercial break number two. I'm actually going to go up to 575 with this one because I'm amused by Carol on the stone soup thing, although I think they're leaning too long on that one horse joke there. So I'm at 575. We'll see what Joan says. We have a gentleman in the chat again, Mark Ramirez. Mark, you may not be aware since you missed the very beginning. Typically what we'll do is we'll mute while the show is live, and then we'll come back here during the commercials and we'll talk. And yes, I'm very glad you're not the creeper because, oh, my God. Joan is agreeing with me and going to 575 as well. For Mark's edification, what we'll do is in between the commercial breaks, we will rate the last segment between 1 and 10. 1 is like, holy shit, get that off the air before it turns on fire. And 10 is it's absolutely perfect. Typically, we'll start off in the fives, unless there's an exceptionally not all that compelling episode. Fear has had a couple of those, and possibly One World Beyond. And, you know, we'll go up. The only rule is you can't go back down. So if you vote something as like 6, 7, 5, you can't go back down after that, for example. So that's how it goes, and that's what we're doing now. We started off at the beginning of the episode, if you're watching along at home, with just a 5, because not only was it awfully short, but they just repeated the ending of last week's episode, so I don't really find that all that compelling. So it didn't suck or anything necessarily, but I'm like, okay, why do we bother with that? We saw that last week. We don't need it again. And we didn't need a refresher that bad. So if you care to join us, we'll be going mute when it goes live again. And then at the next break, we'll do some rating again. So feel free if you would like. If you want to just lurk and learn, that's also cool. I was in the middle of explaining about a new show that we have on our network, one of our other hosts, which I'm going to go ahead and just read it from the beginning since this is all new to us. So award-winning journalist, author, and travel writer Bob Nesoff, N-E-S-O-F-F, if anybody wants to Google him, it's pretty impressive, actually. He's hosting a new segment with NDB Media, and I'm a little fuzzy how it works yet, but it appears to be either biweekly or monthly travel-related things because that's one of the things he does. So this one is called Spain, More Than Flamenco. And that'll be on the 31st, Wednesday at 7 p.m., right before the Rock and Roll Shrink, which I'll get to in a moment. So his guest is going to be Jose Manuel Dewan, who is the consul, C-O-N-S-U-L, for Spanish tourism in the United States. Spain is a country with great diversity from region to region. Food and culture abound through the nation and is one of the safest and friendliest European nations to visit. Cathedrals, synagogues, mosques run the gamut of sites and the diverse ethnic groups in Spain. Museums offer antiquities from armor-clad knights to modern-day things. All right, so that will be Wednesday at 7, and then and by 7, that's going to be Pacific time. So right afterwards will be me, and that'll be 11 Eastern time. So when it says 7, that's actually Pacific time, and that is my mistake writing that down because I do it in the format I do. So the Rock and Roll Shrink is right afterwards, Wednesday the 31st at 11 p.m. So join me and Atlanta psychologist Dr. Stephen Mathis, PsyD, that's a degree, a.k.a. the Rock and Roll Shrink, as we discuss matters of mental health and metal health. Our topic will be conversion disorder. So come and join us where I get all serious. Then last but certainly not least, Travel Itch Radio, the April Fool's Day, Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Oh, weird. We just had a power blip, and I should tell you guys, we are in the middle of kind of a storm right now. So if, God forbid, I get cut off, that's what's going on. There's a storm up in the D.C. area. So Northern California, one of the prettiest places on the planet, takes center stage when Heather Knoll of Chalkboard Communications occupies the guest chair. Learn about the Skunk Train, Brewery Gulch Inn, Little River Inn, Mendocino, I hope I said that right, and more as she talks with Dan Schlossberg and Mary Ellen Nugent Lee, who are the hosts. All right, we are back. I'll hush it. I'll see you guys at break number 3. Don't forget to come back, Mark. Okay, guys, it is 9:30, and we are at break number 3. So I'm kind of torn between 5.75 and a 6. I think I'm going to give it a 6, but I'm starting to get a little not sure about some of the things Carol's up to. Joan mentioned a few minutes ago, always the opportunist, Daryl, stripping the old cars of parts, it looks like. Although I could have told him to kill the walker before crawling under the car. I had said, I'm kind of shocked, cooped up in that car, that the walker hadn't melted by now because Virginia summers are disgusting. I should know. And Joe's like, oh, and now we're fixing the solar panels. And I'm like, Carol suddenly knows electronics. You know, yes, she's very versatile, Joe's, you know, jack of all trades apparently. Just how bad were things at the kingdom before they had to abandon it way back when Henry is still with them? Well, you know, that's part of how the kingdom started falling apart. I guess she had to learn to do stuff because they needed the help. I'm not really clear. But Joan is also joining me at a 6, rating that last segment of it. And I have covered all the upcoming shows. So what I might do is go ahead and pull out these articles that I was saving till later. They are a tiny bit spoilery, but we are halfway through the episode. So I don't think they're going to say anything that egregiously messes up anything about us watching the rest of this. I'm trying this. The page this is on is full of stupid pop-ups. Ugh. Yuck. Guys, okay, this is from ReadySteadyCut.com, and it was written by Jonathan Wilson, and for a moment I thought it was written by Good Dog, but that's just a sub-tagline. So it's a recap, and it does discuss some things that have already happened or maybe about to happen. So if it gets really egregious, you know, our policy is always no spoilers if we can help it, so I may have to abort article. We'll see. So, Jonathan says, I can totally see the intention of an episode like Diverge, the first of the 10 seed chapters to directly follow on from another. I understand it from a functional perspective as a way to set up the planned Daryl and Carol spinoff, and from a storytelling one as a way to emphasize the growing emotional distance between them by creating a physical one, having them go about their business separately. But it didn't work for me for two reasons, Jonathan says. The first is a weird fluctuating tone, which we'll get into later. The second is that the script rests on both characters returning to the archetypal versions of themselves. Yeah, that's true. He's got a point. Daryl enters full, cool, stoic outdoorsman mode for what is essentially just a supply run, and Carol embraces her worst impulses as manic grieving widow slash mother in an attempt to make soup. Yeah, this really is kind of turning into much ado about a pot. All right, after years of development, both of these things feel like a bit of a cop-out, a way to bide time until all this can be properly addressed and presumably reconciled in the final season and the spinoff. When The Walking Dead Season 10, Episode 21 opened with the two of them literally taking different paths at a fork in the road, I knew subtlety wasn't going to be on the agenda, but even so, Diverge never stopped being more on the nose than years of character development should require. All right, there's a promo for Fear, which means we're probably going back in a minute, and I'm going to pause and see because we're at the end of a paragraph, so I don't want to keep going if I have to abort right in the middle of it. It will return April 11th, as confirmed. We are back. I will shush. I'll see you guys at break number 4. All right. Thank you. Okay, guys, it's 9:42, and we're at break number 4, and let's go ahead and get those scores up. I'm going to inch up to 6-2-5. Dog is kind of saving the day. Dog is pretty cool. I still kind of feel like a lot of this is just little snips and vignettes, and I don't know where the hell they're going with anything. But let me go ahead and go back to the article, and I'll read that while Joan is considering her score. So, when The Walking Dead Season 10, Episode 21 opened with the two of them literally taking different paths at a fork in the road, I knew subtlety wasn't going to be on the agenda, but even so, Diverge never stopped being more on the nose than years of character development should require. Daryl spent the entirety of the episode roaming the forest, antagonizing walkers, rooting around in the pockets of corpses, wearing military fatigues. Are these more Reapers? Now, it has been in official material that they are implying that this is the new Big Bad, and they are called Reapers, and they have military fatigues. We don't think or have reason to believe that they're connected to CRM, and that's all we know. He's fixing his motorcycle with a torch in his mouth. Gets a couple of action scenes and a walking coolly towards the camera moment, but nothing of substance. Okay, so the article, which is tiny bits of a spoiler, is saying the same things that we just said. So that's actually good. So we are reading what's going on correctly. His only interaction with anyone, actually, is when he parts ways with Carol at the beginning and when something happens later that I'm not going to say because, yeah. This all is the rest of it, and we haven't seen it yet. So I'm going to go ahead and abandon ship on that because we're about to see it in a few minutes anyway. I'm going to go check out the other article and see how spoilery it is, because it says it explains the ending. It's like the article I read you guys a couple weeks ago. It's the same one, looper.com. They give you commentary on the ending that they post the day of mainstream non-AMC Plus people seeing it. All right. This is commentary about stuff that we've already seen. I don't know what's beyondthehaze.com. Is that a drug thing? I'm not sure. There's fun colored smoke coming out of things and Xfinity Mobile, so I'm not sure. Whatever. Second episode of The Walking Dead, Season 10, see Find Me, ends with long-term survivors Carol and Daryl having a heartbreaking falling out. It wasn't that heartbreaking. You guys, you keep trying to make it something it really wasn't. The latest episode, Diverge, picks up shortly after. As they saunter back toward Alexandria, it's clear that things between them are still very frosty. That is true. And they come to a literal fork in the road that's also clearly a metaphorical one. While Carol and Dog head down the path that leads back to Alexandria, Daryl goes the other way to continue scavenging for food and supplies. For the rest of the episode, we follow these two characters on their respective missions. Unable to fix the rift in her relationship with Daryl, Carol looks around Alexandria for a problem she can solve. It seems that there would be no shortage of things that needed fixing in the aftermath of the Whisperer War, but she finds that the rest of the community already has things handled, leaving her without an outlet to assuage her guilt. Meanwhile, Daryl's scavenging mission is sidetracked when his motorbike breaks down. He manages to salvage the parts he needs, but realizes he gave the tool required to do the repairs, his Swiss Army knife, to Carol, and forgot to get it back. Although it's substantially more low-key than the other Season 10 episodes, especially after last week's harrowing splinter, Diverge still does give fans a deeper insight into the current state of Daryl and Carol's fractured relationship. And we are back, so we'll see you guys at break number 5, most likely. Alrighty, going dark. Okay, guys, it is 9:51, and we're at break number 5. I guess this may be the last one before the end. Joan, by the way, I didn't see until we went back, had voted to stay at 6 and had been kind of torn in debating it, but once more before she'll raise it above a 6. And Joan is now feeling like 6.25. I'm actually going to stay at 6.25 because if I may be blunt, Carol's obsession with the rat's getting a little stupid. I don't know if it's supposed to be a metaphor for something, you know, her having issues with Daryl. I don't know. I don't know what this is. It's way too much and does not make sense. I'm going to run back to the article real quick and try to get the rest of that out. It mentions Carol's search for a problem to solve begins with her picking up a tattered scarf off the streets of Alexandria. When she finds Jerry working on one of the fields, he eyes the dirty fabric. Carol explains she wants to wash it and mend the holes, saying somebody loved it and I just want to fix something. Although Jerry seems a little concerned, he doesn't have any other task for Carol to take on. She creates one for herself by announcing she'll contribute to the rebuilding efforts by making a pot of soup for everyone. However, this seemingly simple assignment doesn't go as planned. Yeah, boy, is that true. Some of the problems Carol encounters while making the soup stem from the hardships of post-apocalyptic life. However, some others are the result of her anxious desire to fix things, pulling her attention in different directions. She starts and stops the project many times, taking detours to collect more greens, making an improvised rat trap to try and catch a rodent that's invaded her home, and fix a solar panel so she can get her trusty crock pot working again. By the time night falls, none of the issues have been resolved. The rat is still loose, the soup is still ingredients, and the scarf is a tattered rag. In her harried desire to fix something, Carol ends up not accomplishing anything other than driving herself into a dark mood. Yeah, that's pretty it. Big mood. Okay, so Daryl runs into trouble on his solo mission. While Carol struggles with her soup, Daryl is having a difficult time completing his scavenging mission on his own. His quest to repair the motorbike takes the better part of the day and sees him having several close calls with walkers. They're having another trailer. For Mortal Kombat on April 16th. Is this a movie? Experience it. Oh, this is interesting. It's all remade. I'm not a fan of remakes, though. I don't know why we needed this. I'm waiting to see if it's a TV show or it looks like a literal remake of the movie. In theaters and on HBO Max, but we're going back to commercials, so I'm going to continue. All right, his quest to repair the motorbike takes the better part of the day and sees him have several close calls with walkers. In the end, he's able to get the bike working again and even find some useful supplies, but it's clear that his falling out with Carol both figuratively and literally set him back. The irony of Diverge is that Carol and Daryl spend the episode apart looking for a solution to the problem the other could easily solve. If Daryl hadn't pushed Carol away, he'd have the tool he needs to fix his bike, and if Carol hadn't left, She'd have something she could easily fix. Had they not started the episode by going down diverging paths in the woods, everything would have been much simpler for both of them. However, as anybody who's ever had a falling out with a good friend knows, that is one problem for which there is no easy fix. Yeah, and also, it wouldn't be much of a story if everything was nice and neat. Okay, so while Daryl remains stoic, Carol gives viewers some more direct insight into how she's feeling. She confides in Dog while the two are cuddling in bed and says, he'll come back, he always comes back, which irritates me because I feel like this fight is more her fault than it is his. Although she expresses hope for Daryl's return, she's much more pessimistic in her assessment of herself, saying, I don't, though, do I? What do you think? You think I should scram, just get out of everybody's hair? I could. Jerry tries to offer, oh, we have the Fear the Walking Dead where we're having the Negan and Glenn episode, they refer to it. It's going to be another whole thing where people are getting assassinated or something. And I have a feeling after this we're going to end up going back. So I'm stalling because I think we're about to go back to the main show. All right, come on. Yep, we're there. I will see you guys at the end of the episode. Thank you.
Not only are they struggling to see eye to eye, but it also seems like they are struggling with just being on the...
Okay, guys, it is 10:02. I'm going to go ahead and let you go because Talking Dead is on with Chris Hardwick. As I mentioned, and he may have mentioned, Melissa McBride is going to be on. Cooper Andrews, David Boyd, who is the director, and Property Brother Drew Scott. Next week is the finale. Here's Negan, which we just had a little snip of a minute ago. And I appreciate you guys being here and spending time with me doing this stuff. And I will see you next weekend for the finale. Thank you, Joan. And thank you, anybody else who's been wandering by. Don't worry about the song. If you happen to find it, slip me a note later because I'm just going to bring it up next week anyway. So we got like a week to find it. Anyhow, have a good night. Have fun with Chris Hardwick. And I will see you guys later.